Jairata Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavalaba Giri Varadhari. Jairata Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavalabha Giri Varadhari. Ayashoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Janavada Bhagiri Varadhari Hey Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavada Bhagiri Varadhari Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Jare Ashtrita Dasachatri Shriman His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Sudarshan Ji Ki Jai Shri Shri Kishore Kishori Ki Jai Vaishnav Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga All glories to Srila Prabhupada Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudirayet Nashta Preshvabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishna Swadhamopagate Dharma Gyan Halibisaha Kalaunashta Drisham Esha Puranarko Dhunodita Paramananda Pataya Prema Varshakshadayate Sarvada Sarva Sevaya Shri Krishnaya Namostume Sada Sevya Sada Sevya Srimad Bhagavati Kata Yasya Shravana Matrena Harishchittam Samashrayet Jai Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we're reading Canto 10, Chapter 24, Text 29. We're making our way through further and further into the Govardhan Leela. Actually, when Krishna, I don't remember what Krishna says, but I remember what Uddhava says in the 11th canto. He says, O Krishna, I have no fear of Maya. Why? Because Maya is very scary. He says, I'll conquer Maya easily as an afterthought by just wearing the remnants that you've left behind, by wearing your clothes, by wearing your garlands, by taking your prasadam, I don't even have to think of Maya. So prasadam is so powerful. These garlands are so powerful. If our consciousness can match up to that and actually think like that, Uddhava is telling us this is the power of the prasadam of Krishna. That's very nice. Most of the time I'm not in that consciousness, but we can try anyway. Svalankrita mukta bhanta. Svalankrita bhukta vanta. Swanu lipta suvasasa. Swanu lipta suvasasa. Pradakshinam chakuruta. Pradakshinam chakuruta. Govipraṇa laparvatān, Govipraṇa laparvatān, Svalankrita bhuktavantaḥ, Svanulipta suvasasaḥ, Pradakshinam chakuruta, Govipraṇa laparvatān. Please chant. Svalankrita bhuktavanta. Govipranala parvatan. Svalankrita bhuktavanta. Svanulipta suvasasa. Pradakshinam chakuruta. Govipranala parvatan. And the translation: after everyone has eaten to his satisfaction, you should all dress and decorate yourselves handsomely. Smear your bodies with sandalwood paste, and then circumambulate the cows, the brahmanas, the sacrificial fires, and Govardhan Hill. The purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Lord Krishna wanted all the human beings and even the animals to eat nice Bhagavat Prasadam, sanctified foods offered to the Lord. To enthuse his relatives with a festive mood, he requested them to dress beautifully with fine clothes and ornaments, and to refresh their bodies with luxurious sandalwood paste. The essential activity, however, was the circumambulation of the holy brahmanas, cows, sacrificial fires, and especially Govardhan Hill. Om Gyanatiminandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchaka Patarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Mother Krishna Arjuna. Welcome. So, we're at it again. We're moving through the Govardhan Leela. step by step by step. And this is a very special verse because this is the first Govardhan Parikrama. The first time anyone officially, I guess it, you can't really call it the first because it's an eternal pastime. But anyway, for the sake of simplicity, this is when the Govardhan Parikram started. This is a very, very special thing for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So, so important and so, it's just a very dear thing. It's hard to tack down because it's so important and serious, but it also is a very like sweet and festive thing. Many devotees, some of their best experiences happen while they're walking around Govardhan Hill. And therefore they do it so often. And we see, even in other branches of Vaishnavism, it's a very, very important thing. And you see so many people walking around the hill. On Guru Purnima, you'll see hundreds of thousands of people in one day walking around this mountain, this hill. It's barely a mountain now to our vision. And so it's just such a special thing. It's so sweet. It's simultaneously, as Prabhupada said, it's the highest worship that we have as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, worshipping Govardhan Hill and worshipping him by circumambulating him, is definitely very, very pleasing to Krishna, because Krishna here is asking all the Vrajvasis to do it. He's initiated this festival. And they don't just do it one time for the sake of chastising Indra. It becomes an annual thing. They do it a lot. And then the special importance of Govardhan Hill is Govardhan Hill is so dear to Krishna. Krishna goes to Govardhan Hill every day. All of his favorite pastimes happen on or around Govardhan. The most intimate place for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Radha Kund and Shyam Kund, is right at the tip of Govardhan, right? It's basically Govardhan. Kusum Sarovar is right there at Govardhan. So many wonderful things. Almost all of our acharyas, nearly we can say all of our acharyas, have such an affinity and a special place in their heart for this particular place, for Govardhan Hill. So I want to explore a little bit of why that is, because it's always nice to get more details and go deeper and deeper and deeper. In Krishna consciousness, we find that originally we can get a surface layer, which is wonderful. And then once we have a desire to penetrate that surface layer, we find it just goes deeper and deeper. And then we think we've reached the limit. And then we realize, oh my God, I've barely scratched the surface, actually. I thought I found something deep and special. And it is deep and special. But there's so many more layers and more layers. This is Gaudiya Vaishnavism. One very prominent devotee who is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he said, bhakti is like an ocean. And Rupa Goswami also said this. He said, bhakti rasamrita sindhu. The ocean of bhakti ras. It's deep like an ocean. It's a fathomless ocean. And so this devotee, he said that you should dive. You should do everything you can in that ocean except float on the top. Because if you float on the top, you'll catch some fish. But if you dive into it, in the depths of the ocean, there are pearls and gems and so many wonderful things. So many things come from the mysterious ocean. And so the supreme ocean of all oceans is the ocean of bhakti ras. And so when we finally, after some years of practice, develop some inkling of a desire to understand more, we become unsatisfied with whatever understanding we may have, which is beautiful, because at any level of bhakti that can be there. It's not that, oh, I'm an expert now there's nothing to discover. There is always something to discover in the realm of bhakti. Even if you're an Uttamadikari, that's all Radha and Krishna are doing, that's all the associates of Krishna are doing, is discovering things. This is actually one of the amazing facets of Krishna bhakti, that God himself is wrapped in discovery. Every other tradition presents God as the all-knowing, as somebody who just understands everything and controls everything and does everything, and he's all-powerful and he never makes a mistake. But our God, he's always discovering something new, because this is God's real happiness, is to make his devotees happy. And he's a little boy who's just discovering things. On Govardhan Hill, coming back to the topic at hand, practically every day the Coward Boys are running into a new cave they've never been into before. They find some new stream or some new field, a new place to take lunch. They think, wow, we've never seen such a nice place as this. This is so amazing. How have we never stumbled upon this place before? We've walked all up and down this hill. We know every inch of it. This is Gaudiya Vaishnavism. This is the God that we worship. That God who is, he's constantly discovering new sweet things and new sweet ways to exchange love with the people that he loves. This is the whole focus of his life. So Govardhan Hill has a very special role to play in this discovery. Because Govardhan Hill, as we've touched on a little bit in previous classes, Govardhan Hill facilitates everyone in Vraj, facilitates all of the devotees' happinesses. This is why he's called Haridas Varya, because he's the best devotee, because he serves the best devotees. And the reason Krishna has hoisted him up on his finger and given him all the credit for this, even though it's actually Krishna doing it, is because Krishna is showing, if you worship the devotees, you will capture my heart. So worship this devotee. Look how amazing he is. What is it? Dhatamana Dhritame. Raghunath Das Goswami has said that Krishna has given all the credit. Dhatamana. He's given full respect and full credit to Govardhan Hill. Aga Bhaka Ripuno Char Dhatamana Dhritame. Even though he was the enemy of Aga and Bhaka. Aga and Bhaka were the most terrifying demons in the universe. The demigods, they would pee a little bit if Aga and Bhaka came to the heavenly planets. They would involuntarily just pass water. That's how afraid they were of Aga and Bhakasura. And Krishna, he dealt with them as a game when he was 6 years old. His friends laughed. There was a little drama there in both of those pastimes, but at the end of the day, it was all fun, and it just added to the rush of Krishna with his friends. And so this enemy of Aga and Bhaka, to defeat Indra, who was terrified of Aga and Bhaka, who is much weaker than Aga and Bhaka, he used Govardhan Hill. Why? Because he wanted to give credit to his devotee, and he wanted to show all of his other devotees and all the aspiring devotees that the way towards my heart is to worship my devotee. This is Krishna's desire. And so there's more. With Govardhan, there's always more. There's always more with Govardhan. Why is Govardhan so important? Why did Krishna choose Govardhan to lift? Why did he choose this particular devotee in this particular position? One thing we've already said, he facilitates all the other devotees, so he's ideal. But there's a little bit of the backstory which we can glean from the Garga Samhita, which for us is a very nice text, and no Vaishnavas have anything bad to say about it, even though scholars, they don't know that it's authoritative. It's not known when it was written. But as far as Gaudiya Vaishnavas go, no one has spoken against it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has taken quotes from it for his Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. And so we can glean some things from this text. One thing explains the origin of Govardhan Hill, where Govardhan Hill came from. And so we can understand a little bit of the deep, deep love Krishna has for Govardhan Hill and all the Vrajvasis have for Govardhan Hill by knowing this story. So one day, Krishna and Srimati Radharani were sitting together. And Srimati Radharani said to Krishna, "We need a new place." So again, this discovery, we need something more. Let's have something more. I want you to manifest a place which will be the most fitting for all of our pastimes, which will facilitate everything we could possibly want and would just be the best of all places. Please do this, Shyam. And Krishna has to listen to Radharani. There's no question. He's a little henpecked is a word that Prabhupada used in one place. He's henpecked by Srimati Radharani. And so, at that point, because Krishna sometimes, even though no one knows he's God in Vrindavan, they can't quite put their finger on it. He does extraordinary things which make them think he must be a demigod. Where are these things coming from? And so he stopped. He said, "Okay, tatastu, no problem, let it be." And then he manifested a bija, a seed, which came out of his heart. Right then, it's said in the Garga Samhita that this seed came directly out of his heart. And it went brilliant and glowing and went into the ground. And then all of a sudden, this wonderful thing started growing out of the ground. This hill, 8 million yojanas high and 4 million yojanas wide. And 10 million yojanas long. I'm getting the numbers wrong. It's some fantastic number. I think it's actually billions, not millions. Inconceivable numbers. Manifested. And this was Govardhan Hill. This Govardhan Hill came directly out of the heart of Krishna in order to facilitate the desire of Srimati Radharani. So therefore, this Govardhan Hill is so, so special. And also, I don't remember the reference of where this is, but it's quite commonly known in our movement that when Krishna wanted to come for his manifest lila in one of the material universes, he tells Srimati Radharani, please come with me. I can't go anywhere without you. These things will be incomplete without you, but please come with me. And we know Srimati Radharani, she's very, very, very much in favor of Vrindavan. Actually, at Kurukshetra, when she meets Krishna after 100 years, she's initially happy, but it quickly gives way to dissatisfaction, and she says, no, this isn't correct. This isn't right. I'm the same girl, and you're my same lover, but Vrindavan isn't here. Govardhan isn't here. The Yamuna River isn't here. Nandagaon isn't here. Our friends are here. I'm here, you're here. You're not wearing a peacock feather, you're wearing a crown. You don't have a flute. I can't be satisfied like this. So Srimati Radharani is very, very partial to Vrindavan. And so when Krishna asked her, let's go do this manifest lila, let's have another adventure. Let's go charge into the unknown. The two topmost manifestations of Bhagavan, the absolute masculine and the absolute feminine, Radha and Krishna, going on a new adventure. And Srimati Radharani said, I'll only go on two conditions. One, you have to bring the Yamuna. Because we can't have it. If the Yamuna isn't there, what will we do? There will be no question of any pastimes. And two, you must bring Govardhan Hill. So we can see how dear Govardhan Hill is to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And to all the Vaishnavas. Therefore, our acharyas, they have been so, so dedicated to the worship of Govardhan Hill. When Raghunath Das Goswami left Puri for Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him a shila, a Govardhan shila, and a gunjamala, and said, you worship this Govardhan Hill. You worship this Govardhan shila. And that's where Prabhupada has told us this is the highest aspect. This is the highest limit of worship for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. To worship Govardhan Shila. This is the highest thing one possibly can aspire to as far as Archan goes. This is amazing. And Raghunath Das Goswami carried that out. He wrote Ashtakams and Dashakams and wonderful things in glorification of this Shila. And then he went to spend the rest of his life at the foot of Govardhan Hill, walking around Govardhan Hill, being with Govardhan Hill, being at Radhakund, which again, it's like a suburb around the county of Govardhan Hill. It's just there. You walk for 20 minutes and then you're at Govardhan Hill. So in effect, Radhakund is Govardhan. It's just a little tiny region there that's more special and more intimate. So Raghunath Das Goswami spent his time there. Sanatan Goswami, he built the Madan Mohan Temple. He wrote so many books in this place. He did so many wonderful things. He served Madan Mohanji so, so deeply and so dearly. But eventually, he said, I can't take it anymore. I have to go to Govardhan. He's already in Braj. He's in such a place. He's just on the border of Sevakunj. If anyone knows anything about Sevakunj, what an intimate place Sevakunj is. We're new Sevakunj. But he left Sevakunj to go to Govardhan. And he spent the rest of his life doing parikrama around Govardhan Hill. So dear to him was this parikrama. So, so dear to him was walking around Govardhan Hill every day and just meditating on the amazing things. Of course, he's not only meditating. For them, meditation means doing, being there, being a part of the pastimes. So we can't imagine what Sanatan Goswami was experiencing walking around Govardhan Hill. when he would come to the Shamavedi, he would come to where the Dhanakali Lila is taking place. I'm sure every day he would see, oh, Shyam is hiding behind a tree this time, and here come the gopis. And then, hops out. And when he would come by Kusum Sarovar, there are so many things that happen at Kusum Sarovar. So many wonderful, sweet things. When he would go by Radhakund, so many wonderful places are there in Govardhan. And so Sanatan Goswami, he spent his entire life, he wrote a prayer, which sadly I don't have, and I can't remember, because he was also so dedicated to the Bhagavatam. And he said, oh, Srimad Bhagavatam, I can't take you on parikrama. So you please manifest in my heart so that you'll also be with me, because I have to go on Govardhan parikrama. I cannot not go. Because in one sense he had taken a vow, but in another sense, our acharyas, they're not bound by simple vows and promises and things like this. They stick to them. Raghunath Das Goswami's sadhana was like lines on a stone, it's described. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is the one who told us that. But they do this because of deep taste and experience. They can't imagine doing anything else. So Sanatan Goswami, he couldn't imagine doing anything other than this Govardhan parikrama. And nearly 85 years old, his body, because they don't have material bodies, but their bodies, in order to preserve the secrecy of bhakti, their bodies still age like people's bodies. Because if you just saw Sanatan Goswami, you know, 100 years old, looking like a 15-year-old, then people would just start surrendering for all the wrong reasons. They would just say, whoa, this is, I want to be like that. You know, you're obviously an amazing person. So the devotees, they go through struggles in order to keep bhakti a bit of a secret. Therefore, Nectar of Instruction tells us we should never judge a devotee based on external characteristics. Just as we don't judge the Ganga, if there's a dead animal floating down the Ganga, or if there's mud, or foam, or bubbles, or whatever you find it now, you find so many things there now, but still the Ganga is pure. And so we never judge a devotee, because Krishna orchestrates these things in order to keep everything secret, so that bhakti can remain very, very sweet and confidential. And so Sanatan Goswami, nearly 85 years old, his body stopped cooperating. But he was having such an experience that anyway, I'm going to go. It was taking him more time. I'm sure from a physical level, there was some pain, or at least it looked to outside people like, oh, this must be so painful. He's limping. He's hobbling along. How is this old man continuing to do this? And it got to such an extent that Krishna actually came to him and said, Baba, don't do this anymore. You are old. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Haridas Thakur, what is the question of sadhana for you? You don't have to chant 300,000 names a day. You are so pure and perfect and you are so dear to me. Don't worry about this sadhana. So Krishna also came to Sanatan Goswami and said, Baba, don't do this. Don't do this. I can't bear to watch you do that. You're limping, you're hobbling along. It's not, just stop. And Sanatan Goswami said, no. Stop? What do you mean? I would rather die doing parikrama. This is too ecstatic. I can't stop doing this. I can't stop walking around Govardhan Hill. I love Govardhan so much. And I know this pleases you, Krishna. And so then Krishna, he took up his flute and he played his flute. And he stood on top of a Govardhan Shila, big Govardhan Shila, that you can see to this day in Radhatamadar Mandir. There's a bit of a controversy because they also have one in Jaipur. And we'll never really know which one is which. Both of them say, this is the real one. And what to do? Krishna's Bhavagrahi Janardana. So, as long as we have a pure intention to worship that Shila as it is, then we don't really have to care so much. Because, yeah, it's going back 300 years, so we'll never know which Shila is which Shila. But that Shila, Krishna stood upon and he played his flute. And it melted. And his footprint melted into the Shila, and a little calf who had become so enamored by Krishna's flute playing, he came towards Krishna to lick him or whatever, and his footprint, his hoofprint, also melted into that Shila. And then Krishna stepped off the Shila and he said, listen, Gosai, Baba, you just walk around this Shila four times and you've done your parikrama. You do this. This way there's a compromise. I don't have to watch you suffer every day. I can't bear this. And you still do your Govardhan Parikrama. So somehow Sanatana Goswami agreed. But he still did his Govardhan Parikrama every day. Four times around that Shila. This is how dear Govardhan Parikrama is to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he sat at the banks of Radhakund and finished much of his Sarartha Darshini Tika on the Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole 10th canto, as far as I understand it, was written sitting at the banks of Radhakund in the presence of Govardhan. This is how dear Govardhan is. This is how dear Govardhan is to our acharyas. And what to speak of those who were at Govardhan? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while he was in Puri, he was in such an ecstatic fervor. He went into ecstasy when he saw a big hill of sand. If you see, you can see Chatak Parvat, it's still there in Puri today. Sadly, it's right next to a big landfill, and so there's a lot of trash around it, many things. The holy places in India are becoming more and more covered over. We hear that. The prediction is that all of them are closing like lotuses and only Mayapur is opening. But somehow we're still in a nice blip of time, because maybe in the next 10 or 20 years, we won't really be able to see these places at all. We look at the changes Vrindavan is undergoing, the changes Puri is undergoing. We may not be able to see these places in 10 or 20 or 30 years, but right now we're still at a position where we can still see a glimpse. 30 years ago, my God, I dream of walking in the Vrindavan that they walked in 30, 40 years ago. I can't imagine. You could drink the water of the Yamuna. You could just go swim in the Yamuna. And Jitendrapur, did you go to Vrindavan back then? You went in 82. It must have been amazing. Yeah, and it's a lot different now than it was in 2014, because even in my time going, which has been 2016 to 2020, so much has happened. So many things. It must have been amazing. So much forest. So much... Yeah. Were you able to drink the water of the Yamuna when you went in 82? A little bit. Yeah, that's India. Apparently in the 70s there wasn't even that, you know. It would just go right up. Prabhupada said, go swim to the middle and get me, fill my canteen, because the best water is in the middle. And then Prabhupada said, and all that, they would all just go and drink. I can't imagine the fortune these devotees had to see Vrindavan like that. And what to speak of the way Vrindavan actually is. What a thing to aspire to. So Chatak Parvat, that's where I was before this tangent. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw this big mountain of sand. And he went immediately into ecstasy. And he ran towards it. Govardhan! He saw Govardhan Hill in a big sand dune. Such was the consciousness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And such is this is an indication of the dearness of Govardhan to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Govardhan in this big pile of sand. And indeed, it's a recurring theme. He would go into ecstasy, and they would, 70% of the time, find him somewhere around Chatak Parvat, passed out at the foot of Chatak Parvat. And Swarup Damodar Goswami, who's Lalita Devi herself, would chant to bring him out of his ecstasy, to bring him out of his trance. And then he would wake up, and he would say, what have you done, Swarup Damodar? I was with Krishna. I was on Govardhan Hill. I was with Radha and Krishna. I was following them around, and he would explain what he was going through, and then he would just weep. I was at Govardhan. I was at Govardhan. I was at Govardhan. I was with Radha and Krishna, and you've taken me out of this. Why? Why have you done this to me? And he would become very sorrowful. Such is the depth of the consciousness. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati, endowed with Krishna. Going further with Chatak Parvat, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, because of these amazing pastimes of Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, he only established one mutt in Puri. And he established that mutt just on the top, nearly, right next to her. It's on the side, actually, of Chatak Parva. And he spent most of his last days. We know Srila Bhaktisiddhanta left his body ultimately in Bhag Bazar Mutt in Kolkata. But he went there and quickly left. For the preceding months, he stayed at Chatak Parva. And he was meditating that this is Govardhan Hill. I'm at Govardhan right now. Because every day he would have his disciples recite to him this Govardhan Vasa Prarthana Dashakam by Raghunath Das Goswami. So, for me, he's my Paramparam Guru. What is it? Paramparatpara Guru. But for many devotees, for all the Prabhupada disciples, our Param Guru, the Guru of Srila Prabhupada, he showed us the Prayojana. Because at the end of his life, when it was time to wrap everything up, just like the Pandavas, they knew there was no end to their duties. There would be no end to the things that they were needed for in the kingdom. This is described in the 15th chapter of the first canto. And they knew, we'll have to leave. Because if we stay, we won't be able to accomplish everything anyway. So somebody else will have to take up the reins. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta knew, okay, it's time. So he went to Chatak Parva, and he sat there, and he meditated on Govardhan. He showed us the Prayojan. He showed us what Srila Prabhupada echoed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita when Raghunath Das Goswami was given this Srila by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the highest form of worship is to worship a Govardhan Srila, is to worship Govardhan by sitting there listening to these prayers of our Prayojan Acharya, Raghunath Das Goswami, on Govardhan. And because Srila Prabhupada is so dear to us, because it's very, very, I mean, without Prabhupada, where would any of us be? What would any of us be doing? Vaishnavism would just be another phase in the Hindu pantheon where they worship Vishnu. My God, if you read what they actually think about Hinduism nowadays, it's obvious that it's a living tradition. The Vedas are alive. Saraswati Devi is very much in control of who can understand it and who can't understand it, because they're so unbelievably bewildered. They're just bewildered. The best they can do is come to this idea of the Trimurti, which is Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. And they think it's like this pantheistic, you know, everything is, you know, they're all manifestations of the same thing. And, you know, each path brings you to the same place. And they don't really know what that goal is. And, you know, because the Indologists wreck so much havoc, they think these books were written, they're just guesses, but between 2,500 and 1,500 years ago, and they're just totally bewildered. I lost my train of thought. You remember what I was saying, Jai Baladev? Prabhupada. Ah, see, I'm such a rascal. I forget about Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, he brought us all of this. And the rest of the world is so bewildered about any idea of what it is. Anyone else who tries to go into Vedic philosophy through the yoga scene, through whatever, through God, God forbid, through colleges, you know, anyone who tries to go into Hinduism, they're totally bewildered. And Srila Prabhupada cut through all of that bewilderment and gave a very clear understanding of the absolute truth by presenting us as a Rupanuga, as a Jivanuga, as a Sanantananuga, as a follower of the six Goswamis, presented us very clear philosophy and understanding. And none of us would be anywhere without that. And so it's important to also look at his life. This is a very, very... He did something very, very heart-touching and heartbreaking and sweet and difficult. At the end of his life, when he was a stick, when Srila Prabhupada could barely move because the illness that he had was taking his body. It was obvious. It's over. The Ayurvedic doctor said there's nothing else we can do. And what did Prabhupada do? He leaned over and he said, I want to go to Govardhan. I want to go to Govardhan. Go get a bullock cart. Lokanath Maharaj, he has this padayatra. So he's going all around India with this cart and doing kirtan and serving prasadam. So go get Lokanath Swami. Maybe he was looking at Das at that time. I don't know. I don't know if he took sannyas from Srila Prabhupada or he took later. Anyway, go get Lokanath. And tell him to get his cart, and we're going to go to Govardhan. And Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. This is a great idea. Go to Govardhan. So Prabhupada wanted to go to Govardhan. At the end of his life, the doctor said, and his disciples said, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and other disciples, they said, you won't even make it to Govardhan. You'll just die. And we can't bear to see you like that. We don't want you to die, Srila Prabhupada. And so Prabhupada, because of the love of his disciples, he relented. Because for Prabhupada, he doesn't have to physically go to Govardhan to be in Govardhan. Prabhupada came to New York City and didn't take a step out of Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami says, Tishtam Vrajay. One should reside in Vrindavan always. One should never leave Vrindavan. And Prabhupada wrote us the purport that explains that if you can't be in Vrindavan, thinking of Vrindavan is just as good. This means smaranam. This means thinking of Vrindavan and actually experiencing Vrindavan through that thinking. Because thoughts of Vrindavan are not different from Vrindavan. Just as we hear this, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Whoa, why am I forgetting that verse? Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Bhinatvam Nama Namino Abhinatvam Nama Namino. There is no difference between the name and the named. Between Krishna and his name. Similarly, there's no difference between Krishna and anything about him. Also for his associates, there's no difference between Lalita Devi and the word Lalita Devi. There's no difference between Vrindavan Dham and the word Vrindavan Dham. Thoughts of Vrindavan are no different from Vrindavan. And anything that's done on the manasik plane, which means the plane of the mind, in devotional service, it's as good as real. And actually it is real. It's realer than if I pick this up and do that. And my experience of real, I won't hit the Bhagavatam. It's as good as real. We hear this from Nrisimhananda Brahmachari in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He heard that Mahaprabhu was going to Vrindavan. And he thought, no, his feet, there's no road. To go to Vrindavan at that time, it meant you just walked along the Yamuna until you got to Vrindavan. It means wherever you were, you just asked, hey, where's the Yamuna? And then they said, it's over there, Baba. And then you walk another couple hundred miles and you say, which way is the Yamuna? And they say, up that way. And then you go another 100 miles. Which way is the Yamuna? That way. And then eventually you find the Yamuna. And then you go north. Because Vrindavan is in the north of India. So you go north along the Yamuna. And that's the easiest way. Because a river makes a natural road. Otherwise, very difficult. And so Nrisimhananda Brahmachari, loving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he thought, this isn't right. He's so beautiful and his feet are so soft, and I'll make a road. I must build the road. But he couldn't build a road. I mean, my God, it was a couple thousand kilometers. You can't just go, all right, we're going to make a road. For one, you can't build it as fast as Mahaprabhu is going to walk. And so he sat down in meditation, and he imagined building a road for Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada tells us there in the purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna is bhava-grahi janardana. He takes the essence of whatever someone is trying to do. He takes the mood of their prayer. And whatever that is as good as actually doing the thing. And indeed, Mahaprabhu accepted this road and he walked along this road on his way to Vrindavan. So we can think in a practical sense, if we only have a subpar flour and there's no way to get something else and we have to offer it to the deities, if we're not such a good cook, and we know what I'm cooking, maybe Krishna will have to struggle to eat this. We can meditate and think, but I would like to offer Krishna this thing. And you offer that in your mind, it's just as good. You take a flower without any smell or something, and you meditate, I have to offer you this, but I would like to offer you a lotus that smells like this, and is this color, and has this many colors on it, and it's this big. Krishna will accept that. Bhava Grahi Janardana. This you can do. Prabhupada has told us. This you can do. So Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janardana. So Srila Prabhupada, shooting back to the tangent, he didn't have to worry about not actually going to Govardhan. But we see his deep desire to go to Govardhan. When he couldn't eat, he couldn't move, he could barely talk. He was whispering so quietly that the devotees had to put their ear practically on his mouth to hear what he was saying. And he said, take me to Govardhan. And he was happy about it. He wanted to go to Govardhan. This is what I want. So Prabhupada has shown us the Prayojan. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta has shown us the Prayojan. Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they've shown us the importance of Govardhan Hill and doing this parikram of Govardhan Hill. So, we should desire to see Govardhan, to go. Actually, there's a curse on Govardhan Hill. We don't have to worry about it because, again, we're born now and it's not going to disappear in our lifetimes. But actually, Govardhan Hill is shrinking by one mustard seed a day. He was cursed by one Muni. I can't remember the Muni's name. I don't know why he was cursed either. I've forgotten the story. But Govardhan is shrinking. Actually, in 500 years, now Govardhan Parikrama is about 19, 20 kilometers. In Sanatana Goswami's time, it was nearly double that. It was about 34 kilometers to walk around Govardhan Hill. So in 500 years, he's come down so much that 15 kilometers is subtracted, 8 miles is subtracted from the Parikrama of Govardhan. So we're very fortunate. In 500 years, in 1,000 years, there may not be a Govardhan Hill to walk around. You may only be able to do it in a monastic sense. You may only be able to read things and then think, I would like to see that Govardhan Hill. But we can still go and see Govardhan Hill. So we should desire this. We should go as much as we can. We should read about Govardhan Hill. So anyway, I've tried to do a little bit of glorification of Sri Govardhan. We inevitably will fall short when we're trying to match the descriptions of such gigantic figures, gargantuan figures as the Goswamis and as Shukadev Goswami, the Goswami of Goswamis, whose very gurus sat in front of him to hear his words. He's called Jagad Guru because Vyasadev and Narada Muni, they sat in front of Shukadev because they wanted to experience the Bhagavatam. Even though Narada Muni told Vyasadev to write the Bhagavatam, and Vyasadev wrote the Bhagavatam, they sat down and took Shukadev Goswami as their guru. This has never happened in history. As far as I understand it, it's just not done. And it just doesn't, it's almost inconceivable. But they sat down, they took Shukadev Goswami as their guru because what he has said is the highest thing. Everything our Goswamis have written is just a commentary on this book. It's just unfolding things that you can experience by reading this book. And so we'll inevitably fall short. Forgive me for falling short. I hope I've said something that is enlivening or that it will at least purify me. If there are any comments, questions, or corrections, please.
Hare Krishna. I was appreciating that one. I think you said we're not really sure where exactly it comes from, but it's common knowledge of when Krishna wanted to manifest his pastimes in a material universe. You know, he's bringing everybody with him. He's bringing Radharani, he's bringing Vrindavan and the Yamuna and Govardhan and stuff like that. And I was just thinking about, because I'm reading the Chaitanya Bhagavat right now, and we're just in the early part of his pastimes as a baby. And there was a story of a Brahmin that had come to visit Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata's house, and he was staying there to cook. And so he would worship. I think he had a Damodar Shila, and he would worship, and he would chant Gopal mantra, something like that. And his worshipable deity was Bal Gopal Krishna. Mm-hmm. And eventually, after some different pastimes and hijinks happen, then finally, at the end, Krishna shows his he makes everyone in the house go to sleep except for the Brahmin, and he manifests himself in a very special 8-armed form of Bal Gopal that was exactly what he wanted to see, the Brahmin. And but I noted down in my notes that he didn't just manifest himself, but he manifested everything around me manifested. It was described the gopas and the gopis and the Yamuna, and everything was there with him. So Krishna, whenever he shows up, it's never just him. It's just he always has everything with him. He always brings his whole entourage and his paraphernalias with him too. And I was thinking perhaps that could be the case when one's chanting Hare Krishna, because again, Krishna never shows up anywhere without his devotees and his entourage and stuff like that. So with Sankirtan, you're also, you know, Krishna's not just there, but, you know, everybody's there as well. I was thinking about that too.
That's a nice reflection. And therefore, some of our acharyas have, and we can only do this where it's practical because we have to do kirtan, but many of our acharyas have laid stress on there being somebody who is very pure in the Sankirtan party. Ideally, we should all be striving for purity, and then that's always met because Krishna, he sees the desire in the endeavor, and he carries what you lack. But if you can have somebody very pure, we can only imagine the kirtan of Srila Prabhupada. We can only imagine the kirtan of other amazing devotees, the kirtan of Srila Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. Because when these people chant, the holy name they're chanting is Krishna and everybody who Krishna loves. It's definitely that. When Srila Prabhupada sat down and chanted in Tompkins Square Park, that park became Vrindavan. And therefore people's hearts were moved. When he chanted in Australia in an auditorium, that auditorium became Vrindavan. Wherever he thought about, wherever his transcendentally equipped and tasting mind was dwelling at that point, that's where everybody was transported to. And we hear this from so many Prabhupada disciples, that I was in a kirtan with Srila Prabhupada, and the experience was more intense than any acid trip I'd ever been on. And I knew at that moment that, wow, you know, in one sense, we said, well, all right, yeah, you guys did a lot of drugs back then, and, you know, it's intense. But at the same time, there's just, you can't imagine what it would be like. And those people are so fortunate to have been in that kirtan, to have been in the room with Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada, at every moment, I mean, I don't know him, I have never asked him this, because I was born some 16, 20 years after he left, but we can understand from our understanding of the Shastra that Srila Prabhupada was at every moment in Vrindavan. And so that means wherever Srila Prabhupada was, Vrindavan was there. So yes, we can imagine, and we can aspire for that I want to chant that holy name. Therefore Rupa Goswami says, Tundet and Davani, I need billions of ears and unlimited tongues. What, this one tongue and two ears is not enough. What can I do? I have a little cup, and rain, prema is raining down, mercy is raining down, and I can only catch a little bit, and it's falling everywhere. And I catch it, and my cup is overflowing. It's falling out of my cup. This is Rupa Goswami's feeling about the holy name. So we should want to chant this holy name. Anything else? Mother Krishna Archana?
It's just a little comment. You had inquired from Jitendra Prabhu about the purity of the Yamuna and whether he'd actually taken some water, I guess in the two visits that he'd done. I happened to see yesterday that because the president of our country is visiting India at the moment, there's great awareness of how he may be perceiving on the external. So what was being done is that there's a huge amount of water that's been pumped into the Yamuna to make the debris clear in the area where he's going to be. And they were erecting walls to block off if there were some poverty-stricken areas close by. Yeah. So there's a lot of awareness of how things appear on the external amongst the Indian persons and the, I guess, those that are arranging for his visit. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. I heard this yesterday, actually. Somebody told me that. And my immediate thought was, it's so funny how Vedic culture has become so twisted and backwards in India. Because you see this thing. It's actually, we hear so many descriptions. It's coming from the Shastra. When somebody very prominent comes, you go out, you go into the streets, you put flowers, you perfume everything with scented water, you put the special coconuts and the palm trees and the elephants, and you make everything look even nicer than it already is, but the baseline is already beautiful. So now what do we get? We get, okay, India's trashed, and somebody important is coming. You literally build walls to hide the bad stuff, and you pump water. Why don't they pump a ton of water down the whole Yamuna to get all the debris out and then stop dumping all the stuff in from Delhi, you know? That would be an intelligent solution. But instead, when Donald Trump comes, we see some... Well, we have to make it look passable because we want he's the president. Yeah, the Mahajan, you know, Donald Trump goes shy, you know? So... Yeah, I found it, it's interesting at the same time for me. It's perverse, and it's just, at the end of the day, I just have to go back and feel very fortunate that I can still go to Vrindavan. I can still walk next to Govardhan, and there's a forest there. And, you know, if I came 20 years later, I don't know what it will be, you know? I don't know what it's going to be in 20 or 30 years. If I had been a new bhakta in 2040, then... Maybe not, you know, maybe something else. On the other side, maybe if we take the glass half full, maybe they'll get their act together and fix things. It's really nice because the forestry department has given our devotees nearly a quarter of the land just next to the side of Govardhan that is near the place where Madhavendra Puri established the temple on top of the hill. And so now that we're able to maintain it, and that part of the forest is quite pristine, and they're building a retreat center there and everything. So we at least have the ability to preserve this bit, and they won't just go and tear the forest down and build some janky Indian hotels and all of this. So that's really good. But yeah, I found this interesting, this point. Thank you for bringing it up. Jai Baladev, do you have anything? It's practically not complete. Can you keep it short, though, because it's 8:35?
Yeah, I'll keep it short. Just appreciation of points. Prabhupada, wherever Prabhupada went, that place became Vrindavan. So you pretty much asked my question, but like I said, I'll keep it shorter than normal. But just some references. I don't remember the specific reference, but there's Lord Nrsimha Dev told Prahlad. He says, Yatra yatra cha ma bhata prashanta samadarshinaha sadhava samodicharas te puyante apikikataha. He says, wherever there are PhDs, pretty humble devotees who are prashansa, peaceful, samadarshina, equal to all living entities, and who are sadhava, decorated with all good qualities, that place and the dynasties become purified. They become Vrindavan, in other words. And also, there's one reference. I'll just end with these references, maybe. So I believe this verse is from Madhya Leela, chapter 22, verse 83, I believe it's that's the reference. It says, Krishna bhakti jama mula hoi sadhu sangha. Krishna prima jame tenho puna mukya anga. The root cause of bhakti to Krishna is not visiting holy places. It's sadhu sangha. Even when one's Krishna prima awakens, still mukya anga. This is the main principle. So anyways, that's all I share. But anyways, thank you.
That's so nice. Yeah. Therefore, when we go to Vrindavan, we should seek the association of people who know about Vrindavan. Luckily in ISKCON we have many devotees that have made their lives living in Vrindavan, and they've learned so many things. We just have to want to be around them so we can be inquisitive to know, what is this place? What amazing things happen here? You can imagine the realizations of somebody who sat down for 20, 30, 40 years and decided, I want to make this my home. This is the goal of my life. What things must be revealed to them? So, yes, it's the Mukhya Anga, Sadhu Sangha. Jai. But Vrindavan is special. Therefore, even in the five limbs of bhakti, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said this Nama Kirtan, Sadhu Sangha, Bhagavata Shravan, Mathura Vas, Sri Murtira Shradaya Sevani. He said any one of these five things can bring all perfection. So other tirthas, we can say the sadhus, if you go there and you don't take shelter of the sadhus, it's useless. But Mathura Vas is special. It's not useless. Even if you go there with the wrong intentions, you're a fool, you make so many mistakes, you do stupid things, you have no desire to be around the sadhus. Something will happen in your heart. There's a wonderful story you've reminded me of in the Vallabha Sampradaya, where there was a woman and her husband, and this woman was very beautiful. She was walking through the streets. She lived on one side of the Yamuna. And a very lusty man started to follow her. And so she noticed this man following her, and she cut a corner to try to see, oh, he must not be following me. It's just a coincidence. We're going down the same street. And he cut the corner. And so she cut another corner. And he cut the corner, and she realized, he's following me, oh God. And she became terrified. So she went back to her home, and she told her husband, there's a man following me. I'm terrified. It looks terrifying. Her husband was also afraid, because I guess he was just a sadhu. He was very, you know, weak, not given to fighting. Many Indian people are like that. Their culture is such that the Kshatriyas learn how to fight. Everybody else is very docile. And so they said, we have to go. We have to go to our Guruji. So they went as fast as they could. They got on a boat. They crossed the Yamuna. I don't know what town they went to, but it was in Vraj. And they went to Vallabhacharya, who was their guru. And they sat down and they said, Guruji, we're taking shelter of you. This terrible man is following my wife. We don't know what his desire is. We're very afraid. And he said, no problem. You just sit down and you eat. And all of a sudden there was a knock on the door after some hours. And Vallabhacharya answered the door. He said, oh, come in. And it was the man. And these two were terrified. They're thinking, oh my God, what is this? He's here. Gurudev doesn't understand. This is the man. And he sat him down and also fed him prasad. He was soaking wet. Because actually he was so lusty after this man's wife, he swam across the Yamuna just to follow her, just to do whatever he wanted to do. And then after that, he sat and listened to the katha of Vallabhacharya, and he became a devotee. He took initiation from Vallabhacharya. And Vallabhacharya explained that this is the power of the Yamuna. This is the power of Vrindavan. This dham is so powerful that even somebody with lusty intention, with the intention to do something wrong, something bad, it will be purified. Now, obviously, it doesn't happen so fast in every case. But as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told us, Maturavas, it's one of the five limbs of bhakti, which in its own right has full potency to deliver somebody and to give them the entirety of the goal. So this is a very special place. It's not like Kormashetra, or like if you go to Dwarka. These places, yes, if you go there and you don't meet a devotee, then it's very unfortunate for you. In Vrindavan, it's more fortunate if you meet a devotee and you seek out the devotees, and you'll get more faster. But it doesn't mean it's useless if you don't find the devotees. Therefore, all the people that come to Vrindavan with so many different ulterior motives, they're still getting so much benefit, my God. Okay, it's 8:40, we're 10 minutes over. Forgive me for the little lapse of extra time. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Kishore Kishori ki jai, Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra Sudarshan ji ki jai, Shri Gornitai ki jai, Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Vaishnav Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.